City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, April 15th, and I'm Mary Van Sickle. I'm here in the studio at Dakota Media Access, and Commissioner Nancy Guy is joining us from her home today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in. You had a busy City Commission meeting last night. It was a full agenda.
It really was. Our last meeting was a little bit light, so we had kind of a pent-up demand for action on items. Spring is always a busy time of year.
Yes, that's true. And I need to mention that we had a few technical difficulties last night. Our apologies for that. We had, when it rains, it pours. We had some issues with our internet streaming. Also a little bit of glitchiness with our radio broadcast, but we're working on it, and I think we've got those things ironed out. But we always are on cable. We also are now on Roku and Apple TV, so that gives people even more options. But like I say, when it rains, it pours. There's always multiple issues with technology, but we think we have those ironed out now. So
very good.
Thanks for your patience, the commissioners, as well as the public. So let's talk a little bit about what happened last night. The first thing that happened on your agenda was you convened as the Board of Equalization, and your finance department had their annual report, which they gave to the commission, and the commission accepted it. And this has to do with valuations and assessing in the community, and it's both residential property, commercial property. There's a little bit of agricultural property in the city limits, but it's pretty, pretty small. So really, the valuations, this is necessary as the finance department tracks all sales and property transfers throughout the year. They also do appraisals and really look deep into what's going on with property and sales and what's happening in that area, and then they can give those projections so that the budget for the next year can start in that process, and that budget is based on these valuations, or much of it, I should say. So what are your takeaways, Commissioner Guy, about any highlights from that report?
Well, you're correct in that this is the basis for our property taxes. Yesterday was, of course, because of the current public health crisis we have, it was a little different. We had some, and every year we do have some objections. People have an opportunity before this Board of Equalization meeting to protest the value that's been assigned to their property. And honestly, they can protest right up until the meeting starts. And we did have a few people show up in person and protest their value last night. So some of the protests our city assessor was able to research and respond to. Some of them, they haven't had an opportunity to do that because part of responding is going out and inspecting the property. And we're not sending anyone out to do that until the social distancing issue is lifted. So the good news is that those protests are still going to be researched and inspected, and we will be able to deal with those as abatements, property tax abatements down the road. Mm-hmm. So we'll get through this, and everybody will have their opportunity to be heard and approved or disapproved. So just want people to understand that.
And I think they also have the avenue of taking that, their protest or an appeal to also the county level, Burley County level, or the state level. So there's a number of steps these go through before they're final. So that valuation can be addressed at that time as well. In the report, included in the report was a comparison of property taxes by mill levy based on $100,000 valuation or per $100,000 for property, and a comparison of how Bismarck stacks up against other cities in North Dakota. And I think that's always interesting as well. I know Josh is putting that up on the screen right now too, that graph that was provided. So it's always interesting to see how Bismarck compares with other mm-hmm. communities, and certainly within probably the lower end of that mill levy on property levels. So I think that's always good to talk about. We throw that up there periodically when we're talking about the budgets as they mm-hmm. become final in midsummer and late summer. We look at that, and the commission is obviously discussing that all the way along. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that actually we are the second lowest in the state per $100,000, and we're not the second lowest in terms of mill levy, because mill levies are they're different in each city. The value of a mill is different in each city, but the tax per $100,000 on a piece of property is the second lowest in the state. So I hope that people can take some comfort in knowing that.
I think that's a really good point to bring out. I think that's certainly legitimate, because talking in mill levies seems to be a little vague for people. And I don't understand it myself. I don't understand it either, and how it compares to other communities. But if you can put it in a dollar figure per $100,000 valuations, it's easy to understand. So thanks for bringing that up. So the commission adjourned as the Board of Equalization, and then reconvened as the City Commission, and got to the business of the evening, other business, and there was a lot of business. We wanted to talk about a few things on your consent agenda, even though typically most items are not pulled for discussion. There was one item, but we have a number of points we wanted to talk about that were included in that consent agenda. One of them, the first one, was a call for a public hearing, an introduction for a new liquor license, an I-2 license that's just beer and wine, and that's for a new business going up in the northeast area of Bismarck, up by Dan's, up in that corner of the community. Not a lot of, there's some food obviously up there, but a Michi Pizza, as I understand it. So a nice pizza place going up in there. And we only mention that because in 2 weeks, when the commission reconvenes, they'll be doing the final hearing on that. And that's an opportunity for any protests to come forward. So we always like to talk about those public hearings.
You know, this is a courageous time to be starting up a new business too. I think there was an article about this pizza place in the Tribune last week, and they're going to be in the Sunrise area by Dan's up there, so that neighborhood will get their own pizza joint. I like that idea.
Yeah, that's so true. Good point. Difficult time to be opening up, but I'm sure it'll be welcome up there when all the directives are lifted, and they can have the neighborhoods business coming in. So also under consent agenda, a very interesting item about airport rent and fee deferrals. I think this was something that people just don't realize the impact of our physical distancing has on. We hear about the airport boardings are down 95%, but the trickle down from that affects the economy, the local economy, and certainly the financial situations out at the airport. And it really mm-hmm. had to do with a lot of, there was the recommendation that was provided by your airport director, Greg Haug, went from parking and car rentals to concessions and different recommendations for each one of those levels. And I believe they all passed through. It was an interesting discussion. I don't think people mostly realize with the impact out there.
Yes, and I did want to make a distinction too on this. Some of what we agreed to last night was a rent deferral. For example, the airlines pay the airport rent for you know, using the ticket office space and baggage and all of that stuff and gates. And what we did was we did not forgive their rent, we deferred it. So 3 months of rent, and they'll be paying that rent back to us 1/6 at a time over the last 6 months of the year. And we did a deferral rather than a forgiveness because they are getting some support from the federal government, and we just wanted to help them with their cash flow rather than pile on to the support they're getting there. But some of the other concessions at the airport are really quite small, like the little coffee shop down on the ground floor, the parking company, the concession upstairs. So those were a little bit different. And what we did was suspend some of their minimum. They pay us a very small amount of rent, but then they pay us a portion of their sales. And so we forgave the minimum payment on those sales to help them with their cash flow. And I believe that all of this is going to be reimbursed to the airport from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. So,
yeah, thank you. I think those distinctions are important to make. Again, mm-hmm. a lot of variety of different levels there, concessions, airlines, parking vendors, those types of things. So also on the consent agenda, donations were approved for the fire and police department to accept donations. Just kind of a formality that they come to the commission before they accept a donation. But I think it's just kind of nice to mention that there are businesses in the community that are supporting the police and fire with beverages or sanitizer or masks or whatever it might be. I think that's a nice gesture. Good to see.
It was. I was so pleased to see that because I think that it's good for the community to know that some of these businesses that are having a real adverse impact are stepping up and donating things when they're suffering on their own. So it's been retailers and construction companies and all sorts of different companies that have those materials on hand to share. So that was a good feeling.
Yeah. One item on your consent agenda was pulled for discussion, and that had to do with the traditional cleanup week that Public Works coordinates. So there will be no spring cleanup week, and this was scheduled for next week. But what you've gone to is a free landfill disposal for the week of April 20th through the 25th. That's to compensate a little bit for that. And we had talked about that the last time we were together, how the fees have been waived out at the landfill. So that continues for cleanup week. Unfortunately, it's just not possible in these times to send out crews of people in vehicles squished together to pick up large disposable things on the boulevards, like couches, upholstered furniture, appliances, these kinds of things. So not going to happen this spring.
Right. We had a lot of response about this before the meeting and even after the meeting. People are pretty unhappy, and I understand that because I've been cleaning out my garage and my closets too. And a lot of places that I want to take things to aren't accepting them right now. So I have to just be patient and wait until they can take them. But if you do want to haul your items out to the landfill, you'll want to bring your water bill with you. You don't have to get out of your vehicle because we're trying to limit contact with people in the scale house. Nobody will be there to, you know, pick up your water bill and look at it. You'll just sort of show it to the scale house person from your car. They'll wave you through. There shouldn't really be much of a line or a wait period. So We encourage people to take advantage of it if they can. If you can't haul your own stuff out there, just please be patient and wait for us in the fall, because we'll have another cleanup week then.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned when we were talking before we started here that City of Mandan has done something similar. And when Jim Neubauer, their administrator, was talking with us last week, he also mentioned that a lot of times during these cleanup weeks, when people have put things out on the boulevard, other citizens in the community kind of take it upon themselves to go and look for treasures. While that's not allowed legally, it still does happen. And that was another reason to just not go there this year. So Mandan is also doing the same thing. And you brought up a good point. I didn't really think about that. The fact that so many people are doing home improvements, organizing closets and cleaning out their garages, that there's an abundance of disposable large items that people are now sitting on. I know even in our own home, we've gone through our closets and we have a lot of donated items that we're going to donate, but we had to put them aside too. And just, this is not the time to bring them in and donate. So that's a really interesting point. And I think that you use the word patient. And I think that's just a mantra we need to remind people of, that even if you do find a line out at the landfill, please be patient. You know, they're doing the best they can. Yeah.
Yep.
It's free. It's free to dispose of your stuff next week out at the Bismarck landfill. And again, bring your March water bill. Show it. Don't have to hand it in to anybody, but bring that with so that they can verify that you are a taxpayer in the City of Bismarck. So,
correct.
Also, last item on your consent agenda that we wanted to talk about was a program that's been in place for a little while, and that's the lead service line replacement cost sharing program. And it was on the agenda last night because you approved additional state funds are available. You approved that to move that forward and continue with that cost sharing for homeowners. And I think that that's a real significant program. That's a 90%, up to 90% reimbursement for a homeowner who's replacing their old lead service line from the water main up to their meter. And as an individual who owned a very old house for a long time here in the city, that cost can be overwhelming for a property owner. So I think that's wonderful that that's moved forward.
Yes, and I do believe that Public Works has a list of addresses that need to have those lines replaced and addresses that have already had the line replaced. So, for example, if you bought an old home recently and you're not sure whether you have that lead line or it's already been done, you can contact Public Works, and there's kind of a hierarchy of priority on these, and they can help you figure out whether it's been done, and if it hasn't, where you fall in that priority and how to go about getting it taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good program. Good to see it's continuing. Moving into the regular agenda last night, we did have updates from City Administrator Keith Hunke on the COVID-19 preparations in the city and some of the functions within the city. And you also had a report from your finance director, Dimitri Chernak, a very detailed report on the current state of finances and any projections dealing with this crisis that the city may be looking at in the future. Good proactive move to take a look at that. The commission ultimately approved the report, and also in that motion moved to convene your budget committee to not only move forward and get the 2021 budget started, which is kind of normal at this time of year, but also to address and readdress and look at the existing budget for the rest of the year, come back with any recommendations. I think that was a really interesting report. And I should remind people that these documents are always included in your agendas and available to the public. So bismarcknd.gov will get you that information if you're interested in looking at that. Thought that was very interesting. Are there some highlights, Commissioner Guy, you wanted to bring out about that financial report?
Well, sure. I know that my biggest concern was, should we go forward with projects that we have scheduled this year that might be dependent on sales tax or other kinds of revenue? And of course, we've already collected 90% of the property taxes for this year. Those have already come in. So we're in good shape there. Projects that are funded by sales tax are typically street maintenance projects. So chip and chip seal, mill and overlay, total reconstruction. For example, an arterial reconstruction would be up on 43rd Avenue, and that's going to start in earnest next week. Those projects are in good shape as well because we're using last year's sales tax for them. So we're not starting a project betting that we're going to have enough sales tax come in this year to pay for it. So we do want to be concerned about what we schedule for next year in that budget because, you know, it's going to be really hard to predict what we see come in this year for sales tax. We don't know how long we're going to be in this state of social distancing and relative sort of lockdown. And the sales tax numbers that we see, I run about 2 months behind. So it's, you know, we don't know what March and April sales tax is going to look like until June. So I think it was prudent to put together the, and the other category of projects would be utility projects that are funded from utility funds. Those are like water and sewer, and those utility funds are paid for on your water bill. So those are not dependent on the state of the economy. They're a constant amount that comes in every month. So it's good for us to go ahead with projects in a prudent fashion because it keeps people employed out in the community too. And so we want to make sure that we're not, you know, adding to the problem. So I guess those are my big takeaways from it, and I'll be real interested to hear what the budget committee has to say in a few weeks.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that again at that point. So, also on the regular agenda, there was a continuation of a public hearing that was scheduled last time. Obviously, it got everybody off guard, all the social distancing. So it was delayed until last night, and it had to do with a Apple Meadows third subdivision out east of Bismarck. And I believe it's 28 homes out there. It would be south of East Main Avenue. Josh has got a little map up on our screen right now that shows that placement. But again, that rural residential properties that are going to be built out there. And that went forward. I don't believe there was any, there was some objection at a planning and zoning, but some of those, it was still passed unanimously with them, and it passed last night with the commission.
So. Yes, and it was a continued hearing because we should have had the hearing at our last meeting, but we didn't want to add things to the agenda that would draw people in to the city county building because of social distancing. And we also wanted to make sure that when we resumed these public hearings that we would have a method that made it easy and safe for people who did want to come in and comment during the public hearing. So we resumed those now. And we had a few people show up to protest their property tax assessments last night, and that actually went very smoothly. So,
yeah, it is manageable, no doubt. Also, regular agenda item, moving into another item that has been on the agenda more than a couple times, and that is some very large street improvement districts, 531, and then a smaller district, 533. This These street improvement projects are resurfacing and reconstruction in a variety of different areas in the community, but the biggest areas I think that have been focused, the discussion has been focused on is East Divide Avenue and then also South Washington. And it's, they've been, the protest period has already been concluded. There were not enough protests to delay any of the projects except, I believe, one. And that would be our South Washington project did have over the required amount of protests, I think it was around 58%. So that project will not go forward. Big projects.
That's correct.
And the bids are in, and these projects are gonna move forward except for that one. And I believe you said there was another project very close to that that also was not approved last night, that connected.
Right. There was Unit 8 in one and Unit 11 in another, and they are both South Washington. And so we thought, well, if the larger Unit 8 was protested out and we weren't doing it, it doesn't make sense to do Unit 11. Because there is no economy of scale in, you know, sort of combining them. So neither one of those will go forward this year. The city will do regular maintenance, which would be street sweeping and plowing and then pothole repair, but there won't be any chip seal or mill and overlay or anything going on Washington Street south of Expressway this year.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of property involved in this. There was even some alley paving, so different areas of the community. So those road projects have been bid out, bids were accepted, and they'll start as soon as the weather allows them to. So I think mm-hmm. the majority will be done this summer, but I saw that the completion date on a couple of the projects might even be next summer sometime. So.
Yes.
Another item on your regular agenda that seemed to take up quite a bit of the discussion was the retail sales of alcoholic beverages by restaurants. And this kind of comes on the tail of other communities in other cities in the state of North Dakota that have opened this up. And these are for restaurants that typically don't have the off-sale license that have come forward and asked for that to be allowed during this situation. So that was a lengthy discussion and a lot of good points, but ultimately the decision was made not to open that up.
That's correct. And you know, every city in the state has their own specific liquor license program. And so what works out really well in one community, it may not be suited well in another. So here in Bismarck, our off-sale license holders have paid well in excess of $250,000 per license. And some of those licenses are valued as an asset in their business of much more than that, you know, bumping up to $500,000. So anytime we're able to allow a restaurant to start functioning as an off-sale, then we're infringing on those really expensive Class D and E licenses. And the Class D and E license holders, the liquor stores and the bars that can sell off-sale, do have the ability to sell curbside. So, you know, if you feel strongly about not going into the business, call ahead, place your order, pay with a credit card, and they can, just like curbside grocery delivery, you can drive up and they can put your purchase in your vehicle for you. And we felt that was a pretty good compromise to the request. I know that restaurants are disappointed, but we just felt that it was too much of an infringement on the other license holders. There has to be some balance there.
And I believe that the discussion also included some comments about enforcement and time limits and these kinds of things. And now the police department would have to be aware of these, you know, this type of these new locations that would be selling alcohol. And it just got a little messy. Unfortunately, some of the restaurants that are used to selling alcohol, beer, wine, and mixed drinks too, this is another hit for them, but it's just wasn't a fit here in this community. And as you said, based on the structure of the licenses, would not quite be fair all the way around. So unfortunately, it just didn't happen for that situation. The last thing on your regular agenda last night, your city attorney, Janelle Combs, did a report on the COVID-19, the risk mitigation that they put in place for employees and the city. And that was very interesting. She had a fairly detailed report and some stories about, you know, the police department and others that have been dealing with them because they're essential employees and they're out in the community and some of the situations that they've gone into. And maybe we want to talk a little bit about now, getting off your agenda last night, and talk about the operations that have been set in place for the city. When we met the last time, we talked about the Emergency Operations Center that has been set up, the EOC, a temporary place where there's representation from all the departments, headed up by Renee Mock from Public Health, and then Jason Timonic, your assistant city administrator, is there as well. So they are directing all the activity there, but things are going well. And we've noticed too that there's been a couple of regular things that they've implemented. I know Renee and Jason are doing a 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, a Facebook Live update from the center about what's going on there, new directives to the citizens. We're picking that up here too, and throwing that out on our channels. Also implemented a Homebody Hero event that goes out every day on your Facebook page. It's kind of interesting activities that people can do while they're isolated or in their homes together. Mm-hmm. And can be knitting or reading books or those kinds of things. And we're hoping that you're going to do a knitting segment at some point, and we'll put that online.
Yes, if anyone has any difficulty getting to sleep at night, they can tune in and watch me knit.
That sounds very interesting, actually. I bet you'd have a lot of takers. So that's on your Facebook page. And again, bismarcknd.gov is a main page. And it should be mentioned, too, that you have that emergency alert section at the top of your website. So you can go there for all the updates from the EOC. And I think that's a great tool, as well as, again, Facebook page has a little more fluidity that, you know, has a lot of action during the day. City services are continuing. I mean, you've had some issues with police, fire, and your CENTCOM. They've adjusted and making calls during this time has got to be a little bit concerning for city commissioners. I think Janelle Combs did have a couple of stories last night about how police and fire and CENTCOM are operating right now.
Yes, in fact, I thought it was really interesting. The director of our central communications, that would be our 911 center, is Mike Bannenfelser, and he and our EOC were instrumental in working with the governor's office and the state in getting information on COVID-19 positive tests by address, so that when a call comes in and we're sending police, fire, or ambulance personnel to an address where someone has been tested positive for COVID-19, they're told, these first responders know that coming in, so they have the correct level of PPE on their body when they walk in that building. And I think they can deliver whatever services they need to much more effectively and safely for everybody involved. And they're able to do this with preserving people's privacy too. So this was really innovative, and I think an important step for keeping our people safe and for helping the people that are calling for help.
Yeah, those are good points to bring up. Also talking about public works, we've talked a little bit about what's going on at the landfill and garbage and whatnot, but also the grass collection sites are now open, as I understand it, and street maintenance is happening. Potholes and sweeping is happening, pothole filling, I should say. Also, something that we didn't realize was going on was a lot of cleaning and sanitation work that's been added to staff for buildings and equipments and vehicles. And that's being coordinated out of Public Works, as I understand. That's some of the
stuff
out there.
Yes, a couple of years ago, we had we brought those functions in-house. We had them contracted out, and we weren't really happy with the level of service we were getting, so we hired staff and we brought those functions back in-house and under Public Works. And over the years, we've built up a really terrific crew that does all of the cleaning in all of the city buildings. So when we got into this situation and we needed to be doing extra cleaning and sanitizing, because these folks are so good at what they do and they're so professional, they were just able to slide right into that role. And then they have also been doing some cross training with other staff in those buildings, because we're probably doing 2 and 3 times the cleaning and sanitizing we were doing before. And they can't obviously do that all alone. So we've added staff in each building, but that's going really well. And I think it's a big part of preserving our workforce and making sure that we aren't losing folks because they're getting sick.
Yeah. No, those are good points. And we did talk about, again, garbage and landfill operations, but from the Public Works Service Department also coordinates all the recycling and pickup for recycling. And I think we just want to remind people that as we move into this springtime, that there are certain things you can recycle and certain things they don't want in the recycling bins. And one of those things is, you know, food and liquid and plastic bags are not to be in your recycling container. That's really, really important. It's, you know, paper, cardboard, glass, plastic, everything cleaned out, rinsed, and dried. Put that in your recycling and they'll take it away.
Yes, and don't bag up your recycling and put it in your container thinking you're helping, because that really isn't helpful. That gums up their machinery. And because it's springtime and weather is warming up and I'm forever an optimist, it's going to start raining. So make sure that your recycle container lid is closed, because if your recycling gets rained on, that cardboard and paper becomes unacceptable and it just adds to the mess and the cost on the collection end of it. So an easy solution is just make sure the cover shuts.
Sounds good. Also, Public Works, their utility operations. We talked about that last time we were together, and wastewater and wastewater plant and the water treatment facility, all functioning as normal. However, as you mentioned before, cross-training of different staff is also happening to create some redundancy in operations should someone become infected within the facilities. So good to know.
That's correct. Yep. And that seems to be going real smoothly. So, you know, if we can get through this whole situation, this whole crisis rather uneventfully, that's terrific. That means we've done our job really, really well.
Yeah. And I think we're all learning a lot as we go, no doubt. Another thing I wanted to mention about city operations are these advisory boards. You know, you have many departments within the city have advisory boards. The forestry department has an advisory board. Historic preservation, the parking authority also is a separate board. So there's a lot of meetings that are happening that need to continue to happen, but they're public meetings. So how do you, how do you restrict them, and how do you keep the building or the location to under 10 people? And all of these issues are coming forward. And I just wanted to mention too that we've been asked to cover some of those meetings, and we are ready to do that. Last week we had the Parking Authority for the first time. We televised their meeting and archived that, and we plan to do more of that. So we're glad to step up, and I think that's very interesting for people. And if they want to find those meetings, they're still available and they're still going on, you know. So we'll continue with all of that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if those meetings continue to be televised after, you know, this, we kind of return to a more normal life. I'm always amazed at the number of people that tell me they watch our city commission meetings. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if there isn't quite a bit of interest in some of these advisory boards that meet.
Yeah. I found them very interesting as well to listen in on those. A lot of new information. So again, just want to remind people, bismarcknd.gov is a great site to go to for this kind of information. You'll find that. I think the other thing to remind people is that your buildings and your facilities are operating, but they are closed to the public. So if you need help with something, check the website, make a phone call if you need to. People are working from home, but there are people working in the building and they're there to help operations continue. Mm-hmm. But don't just come down and expect to walk into the building. That's the thing that's really changed for everyone. So I do want to remind people that we are recording this on Wednesday, April 15th. This program will replay up until probably next week, Tuesday, around there, when we sit down with Mandan and talk about their commission meeting. But things may change between now and the time this program will stop airing. So just want to remind people that this is the 15th when we're recording this program. Getting off your city commission agenda and the COVID 19 preparations of the city, I wanted to talk about a couple other things that you're involved with. As I understand, do you sit on the board for the North Dakota Homeless Coalition or the Bismarck-Mandan Coalition? Mm-hmm. You're very involved in that and have worked a lot with that group. And you and I had talked earlier about some of the concerns, and again, these are things that people aren't really aware of, that the new demands on people and our agencies in our community trying to help people who are in this situation. So talk a little bit about that, and what do you want people to understand that is happening here?
Well, there's all sorts of considerations that people may not have thought about. The Homeless Coalition in Bismarck-Mandan became very concerned early on in the pandemic response, because there were a number of things happening. You know, oil prices were falling very quickly, and it appeared that people would be laid off out west. I don't know that a lot of folks understand there are no homeless shelters west of Bismarck. Dickinson does not have one. Williston does not have one. Minot has room to shelter 7 men during the wintertime, but during the spring, summer, and fall, Minot has nothing. And so a lot of folks gravitate to Bismarck. And so we see a lot more transient sort of coming and going in Bismarck than other communities in the state might see. So we were concerned about that. We know that the weather is gonna stay kind of crummy randomly until May, because that's just the climate we live in. So we were concerned about people showing up and not having room for them in shelters, because the shelters can't take care of as many people as they were before this health crisis because of social distancing requirements. So in the case of the United Way shelter, for example, their occupancy right now is about half of what it usually is, because so that they can keep everybody healthy. So it became apparent to us that we would need another place, an overflow shelter, that would be a safe place for people to continue to get services, get connected with services, and help them out. And then we also needed a place for people to isolate or quarantine who have no home to isolate or quarantine at. They actually put together a subcommittee on domestic violence, homelessness, and food insecurity. So our EOC has worked very closely with them, helping them put together a statewide program that's rolling out today and or this week and next week. And we'll see how that's going to kind of unfold in Bismarck. But it's very important. And the second thing is something that you wouldn't think about. Our homeless services providers had been hearing from their clients that all of the public bathrooms that they are used to frequenting are no longer open. And so that can be a real problem. So the city worked with those providers, and we've placed two spiffy biffs at the Heaven's Helper Soup Cafe, and there's a hand washing station there as well, and two spiffy biffs at Trinity Lutheran Church's parking lot. And we put them there because these are common places for people to go to pick up meals, and they're there every day. So we hope that's a successful solution as well.
So there's a lot of concerns there that I think that most people, I was sure not aware of. It's good to know that you and the coalition and all these agencies are working on these things. I want to mention that you did cut out a little bit and froze up. We lost our signal for just a second. So I'm not sure we got all of it, but I think we got what we needed there. So thank you for your work in that area. And we'll be talking about this again, because this issue will not go away on its own. It might be escalating too. A couple other things we wanted to mention before we're done for the day, and that is that census data collection is ongoing. People should be getting online and filling that out, contacting the census information online and getting that information in. I know I've heard some statistics that Bismarck, Mandan, and North Dakota are doing pretty well on, you know, per population, we've got pretty good results. So that continues. Also wanted to talk about elections. We have passed the date of filing deadlines for candidates. So the races are set, and June 9th is the primary. And for the first time, as I understand in history, there will be no polling places in Bismarck in Burleigh County or Morton County. Very unusual. It's all going to be vote by mail. So very, very unique situation. Hopefully that will be a good turnout, and we'll see how that goes. We have in the Bismarck area, we have four city commission candidates for two open seats, and we have seven school board candidates in the city as well. We also are going to be voting on a half-cent sales tax for Bismarck Parks and Recs for their new recreation facility. So there's a lot of things. I didn't mention all the races because there's a number of them that aren't contested. These are the ones that are just contested, as we have school board and commission. Also, it'll be a county primary. So we don't, you know, all those candidates, as I understand, will also move forward. So there's a lot going on with elections. But vote by mail is unique, and you've got, I think the one thing we do want to mention to people is that if your driver's license does not have your current address on it, it's going to be a little more difficult for you to get that ballot in and get through that process. So North Dakota DOT is the place to go to get your driver's license updated, so you make sure you got that right address on there. Step number one, right?
That's correct. And I'll be so interested after the June primary to see if this vote by mail process increases participation in the primary. It would be very interesting. It's going to be different for people, but you know, as you said, make sure you, if you don't get that ballot application in the mail soon, make sure you contact, I think you have a number or a website on your screen, right?
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, make that contact, make sure your address is correct, and get your ballot in the mail and turn it around. They're even, your return ballot is even postage prepaid.
Yes. As I understand, the Secretary of State's office will be mailing out the application for your ballot. Mm-hmm. And I understand that starts next week. So in the next couple of weeks, you should be getting your application. Now that application needs to be filled out and signed. And then it's as you said, pre-stamped, prepaid, and addressed to the county auditor's office in your county, your appropriate county. You mail that in, and then you will get a ballot mailed to you. And then that ballot needs to be in before, obviously before the primary. I believe the deadline for postmarked ballots will be 5 p.m. the night before June 8th, Monday. So there's a process. There's a number of steps you have to go through to get the ballot. But as you said, I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of response we get as far as the number of voters. This isn't a unique system. There are states that have been voting by mail exclusively for a number of years. So this is going to be one of those things we wonder, is it going to remain? Is it going to, what happens in the future as we move forward? So we're forced to change very quickly here. And some of these changes will be probably for the better, I think. I'm hoping. So we'll see. So yes, elections, information always, as we kind of tie up today, Commissioner Guy, kind of ending here. I don't know if you want to bring up anything that we haven't covered. But we just, the one thing I want to say is to encourage people to get their information from reputable sources. I guess, again, bismarcknd.gov. If you're wondering what's going on with the city, any of the functions within the city, please check the website. Their Facebook page is also a good one. Their phone number, call them, they'll respond. And then obviously the state of North Dakota has been very aggressive and very good about getting information. The governor continues with his daily news conferences. We're pushing that out on our channel when possible. So nd.gov gives you a lot of information from the state of North Dakota. And then obviously the CDC has a lot of good information, and that's kind of the real place to go for health information there as well. So, so we've covered a lot of topics. I think we're pretty much done. We might have gone a little long today, but that's okay. We had a lot to talk about.
I can't think of anything to add.
And I think you'll join me to say that, you know, again, a lot of appreciation for first responders and city staff to keep things functioning. As you've said before, you know, when you turn that faucet on or flush your toilet, it's good to know that those things will everything is moving the way it's supposed to. So that's great. And then
that's
obviously
great.
The people who are in our food supply chain, the grocery store workers, just so grateful that they're there and willing to do the work for us. So and the biggest one of all, again, is our healthcare workers. They're doing a lot.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
So thank you for joining us today. I'm looking forward to our visit in a couple of weeks. We'll see you again.
Very good.
All right. Stay healthy.
You too. Bye now. Right,
thanks. And thanks for watching this edition of City Current. We hope you all stay healthy as well.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.